Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Welcome to the Share Talk podcast, where I'm joined by Julian Chong, who is CFO and CEO at Belzone Mining. How are you today, Julian?
I'm very good. Thank you, Zach.
Right. We had some news yesterday regarding Belzone. Could you just run us through that?
Sure. I promised slightly less than 3 weeks ago in our first podcast that Belzone would ensure that we update the market regularly and transparently going forward. Clearly, when nothing was going on last year, we weren't able to do. So yesterday's announcement is the first step in that promised path. Very simply, we had told the market that once we had received financing, which we got at the end of November last year, that we would immediately start to normalize our operations and restart our ferronickel project feasibility study. So that's exactly what we have done. And we're now very pleased to say that we have started a substantial collection already of the 250-ton bulk sample that we need to gather, number one. Number two, we have worked out where we are going to process the ore to make it suitable for smelting in South Africa. Number three, we are working out the shipping and logistical details to ensure that we get it on time to Mintec by sometime in June. And so in summary, I would say that having spent a little bit more time than we anticipated to make sure that the bulk sample was properly excavated so that we wouldn't have to repeat any steps which would be costly both in time and money, and to ensure that the samples are properly packed and that we've sourced the appropriate containers to put them in. So we've taken a bit more time, but I'm pleased to say our timetable is broadly speaking on track, and as we speak we are on budget. So we just want to make sure that the market is clear on those points.
And what do you mean by on track? And what's the times? What are the milestones that you're looking for in terms of that?
Well, as your listeners will know, we have signed an update to our mining convention, which spells out our obligations regarding our ferronickel project as well as the broader iron ore project. And specifically, this year, by November, we are supposed to finish the second phase of our feasibility study with a view to determining whether this project will indeed be economically viable. And then from there, proceed to get the project done in terms of financing and getting the contractors to start work. So I would say that the obvious timetables would be a further update in a couple of weeks' time when the bulk sample hopefully will have shipped. We're anticipating that would be end May. And then for the first results from the smelting campaign to come through in sometime June or July. And then at the same time, we would look to continue the environmental impact assessment work that we had already done in 2013-2014, and we refresh that, and then possibly do some additional drilling to beef up our JORC numbers even more. So those are, broadly speaking, what we want to do this year.
Right. I mean, there was a spike in the share price last November, which presumably was much appreciated by you and all concerned. Shares are back down towards the, you know, half a penny zone. You've got a market cap of £10 million at the moment, roughly. In terms of investors who are new to the party now, what would you be saying to them? Would you be saying that, you know, the value of the company is now in the market is so low that basically the downside is limited? I mean, how would you be couching it in terms of the investor argument? I mean, if you were going to make that type of argument.
Indeed. I think our share price is, and I've said this a few times, in my opinion, looking at our net present value, theoretical values for ferronickel, which are roughly $100 million US, and our intrinsic ore value, which ranges from 200 to 400 million, depending on your price assumptions. Your 10 million pound market cap vastly undervalues what we have in asset terms. Now, you may say, well, you know, iron ore is not exactly flavor of the month, even though ferronickel might be. And I would say that, yes, we have a viable and actionable ferronickel project potentially. So that is good news. It's not a huge project, but it will generate cash flows if the results end up positive, as we hope. But more importantly, Belzone has strategic advantages, which I said the last podcast. We do have a port that is capable of 4 million tons of ore capacity every year, with an expansion capacity up to 10 million tons. That is south of Conakry and does offer the additional export capability to producers of ore, not necessarily iron ore in the immediate term. Bear in mind, ferronickel, if we produce it, will be produced as bricks, and so they will be containerized and will not require a bulk capable port. So we do have an additional strategic asset, which you will see bauxite in particular in Guinea, it being the world's second or third largest bauxite producer in the world. It is becoming exceptionally hot, shall we say. At the end of last week, there was a report saying that the government had approved a new production which would entail an additional minimum investment of $1.4 billion, and this would be by Société de Bauxite de Guinée, SBG, which is associated with Metalcorp Group in the Netherlands. And it's not surprising that we've seen last year also similar new investment announcements from Chinese bauxite producers. You know, we expect that the existing port capacity, both at Conakry and at the other bauxite ore ports, will be severely stretched. So, again, Belzone, having operated in Guinea for so many years and having an existing port, we can see ways to monetize that value. Indeed, we're already starting to see some of our hard assets, our movable assets, shall we say. So our heavy equipment, some drilling equipment, we are seeing inquiries, and in fact, some people have started to rent them from us with a view to utilizing them in the bauxite mine zone. So I do think that, you know, Belzone as a whole, we're going to start generating some cash. It's not going to be huge, but it's going to be some positive cash flow. And I think, you know, the value of the port itself, given that we spend $110, $120 million to build it over 3 to 4 years, is an asset that isn't easily replicated. I'm sure is going to make Belzone even more valuable as a whole. So I would say, in sum to your investor base, that you know, Belzone is not a greenfield exploration play. We have very concrete substance. We're ready to go, and truly, we are very undervalued, and it's really disappointing that the market has not yet picked up on this. But on the other hand, this represents a great opportunity for investors who've not had a chance to look at Belzone closely.
Right, because I mean, the implication of my question was that up to this point, in May 2018, you've done a lot of the groundwork. There's been a lot of, let's say, dirty work, and the strategic elements have been put in place. And so, therefore, somebody coming to the stock now has doesn't have to play that waiting game that is so often a part of mining stories.
Indeed, I mean, I would say to the extent that a company is off the shelf, we are pretty much off the shelf ready to go. What we have cannot be easily replicated. Our 10 years experience operating in Guinea, our team on the ground, our relationship with the authorities, which are clearly on a positive path as we just signed our update to our convention, our strategic value, as we said, the ongoing ferronickel project. So I would say, to the extent that investors are looking for a promising mining play in Africa, I would be hard pressed to find one with as much potential upside.
Right, and in terms of the funding, because these things can be rather complicated, what is the basic structure that you have in place?
Well, for Belzone and our operating capital, we raised $2 million US dollars in November last year. That should go a long way to meeting our obligations this year. We also have a drawdown capability to borrow more money from our major shareholder to meet any shortfall. I was also able to obtain an extension to the loan that they had granted us 2 years ago. And that availability has been extended until the end of next year, 2019. In the worst case scenario, we would continue to depend on our major shareholder if there was a shortfall. But having said that, I'm seeing a lot of interest in terms of people feeling out Belzone as a potential investment. And we're hopeful that the other financing options may become more concrete pretty quickly. So it may never be that we draw down more money, but I think our financial options have certainly been enhanced over the last 12 to 18 months.
So you have a safety net in place?
We do indeed have a safety net. If I look at the ferronickel project itself, nickel becoming a much more gas and increasingly strategic asset with respect to electric vehicle demand, those prices are going up and the chances of this project becoming attractive are high. And indeed, I have spoken to a couple of people recently with respect to potentially financing the project. The project itself is maybe a 50-60 million base case capital expenditure project, the bulk of that coming from the smelters in South Africa. I think if we can put together a sensible financing project, I think there is good overall enthusiasm for nickel, and ferronickel clearly being priced off the price of nickel will benefit from that. And ferronickel being used for stainless steel and clean stainless steel production, which is the trend in China now, I think we're positive that financing discussions will be easier now than they've ever been before.
All right, I just want to finish on a happier note, hopefully. You've got effectively two sugar daddies, the government there in Guinea, and also, it would appear, the Chinese. How enthusiastic are both parties in terms of what you're doing there?
Well, I think the government is clearly keen that the maximum of good news goes out regarding Guinea, because it's a very competitive environment. I think next week there will be a West Africa Mining Conference in London, you will see that on the agenda are numerous countries, Nigeria, Chad, Ghana, as well as Guinea, all competing for investor attention. So Belzone is a success story for them. We've operated for many years. We've been paying our taxes faithfully. And we've got a great iron ore world-class deposit and a good potential ferronickel project. So I think they would be proud of Belzone and absolutely want to support us. And in terms of our major shareholder, You know, as I said, they have very graciously granted us very attractive shareholder loans totaling almost 20 million to date. And they've kept open the possibility of drawing down up to an additional 3.2 million. So I would say actions probably louder than words. And there is no question that they remain supportive. And having, you know, over the years invested almost 250 million US dollars, you know, just when the story is starting to become more positive and there is real traction, there is no reason to believe that the Chinese support is going to be any less.
But you are effectively part of the One Belt, One Road vision. Is that fair to say?
I would say if there was indeed an end point, the end point would be Guinea, and we are in a very attractive position in the context of Guinea.
Julian Chong, CEO and CFO of Belzone Mining, thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure, Zach, and talk to you and your investors soon.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.